Coming to you live from the LPP Studios 2.0, it's the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast with your hosts, Rod and Denise. Special guest, Rude Dog. Today's episode, take two.
All right. Hello and welcome, everybody, to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hey.
Wow. So energetic over there.
Aren't I always like that? Or is that... Am I getting my podcast mixed up?
No,
is that
no.
Only Taco Tuesday?
No, that's a thing. That's a thing. That's all the podcasts, I think. I guess we should warn the listeners. Denise is a little tired.
Yes.
You know, we're recording this Small Business Saturday. And she did a lot of shopping.
On Black Friday. No, just kidding.
She was out on Black Friday. She was out partying on Thanksgiving.
The day before Eve. Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. Thanksgiving Eve.
And you're doing it all. So it's been a busy couple of days for Denise. So that to say... I knew I had to bring the big guns this month because I was like, dude, like the D's gonna be tired. I'm gonna have to, you know, get some backup here. So the potheads asked for it from day one. The mail kept piling up here at the studio. USPS had to start returning people's letters because, you know, they had no room over there at the post office. So here to send off 2022 with a bang. You know him, you love him. It's the Rude Dog. Wait, you got to bark. There you go. All right, hello, Rude Dog.
Hello, it's great to be back.
Boop, boop, the Rude Dog. How you been?
I've been good. You know, I was very pleased when I got the invitation because I heard Stephanie, which was appropriate. Then I heard Seaflow, and I said, that's a good 1-2 combo. And I said, man, I'd love to be the trifecta to come in and just end the year off with a bang. So I was really honored and happy to be back.
There we go. Now, Rudy, it's been quite a long time since the Podheads have heard from you here, at least on the podcast anyway. Has there been any developments in the life of the Rude Dog? I don't know. No, nothing like that, Denise. Gosh. I'm just saying anything you would like to share with the Podheads that, you know, they're not aware of. And I'm not leading to anything. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah, it has been quite a long time. And I guess quite a few big changes. First and foremost, I'm not single anymore.
What?
I was single for a long time. And I think we gave out my handle on Instagram and Facebook. I never got any followers from it or any new friends, except for a few guys. I think
that's about it.
I think Seaflow added me and
Albert.
Paul.
Jody B.
Hey, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. So, but other than that, you know, I've been happy now. I think almost 3 years now it's been a long drought since the LPP has took its hiatus. So since that, I've been with my girlfriend, I think 3 years in February it'll be. So, you know, two boys and,
Two boys in 3 years?
Yeah, you know, she has two boys.
And, okay. You know, like, really got to work right away.
You know, but, you know, I love them and I treat them like my own. So it's been great. And other than that, just working and just really missing the old days in the LPP. And that's why I wanted to come back here and you know, make sure we could try to bring back some of that magic we once had before.
Bring back the magic. Now, that's interesting. You know, last week we had Seaflow on. He also had been a single man for a while. He came on the show. He had a special lady friend with him. Now the Rude Dog's here on the show. He has a little special lady friend with him.
But, you know, and I mentioned that because I was very happy. I heard Stephanie's episode and I was really, really impressed with her episode. And it made me feel sad for her. Not sad like she's a victim, but I was just such a great episode. And then, to hear her story, I was like, man, I wanted to punch that dude in the face because I like that song. And like, when she brought the song out, I was like, man, and that happened to her. But I thought it was done very tastefully, the way her attitude and outlook, it wasn't, you know, she could very easily be upset or you know, feel like she's a victim, but it was really, everything you guys said just made me laugh. It was appropriate. It was just a really class act episode. So I commend her for that. And then I was ready to hear Seaflow's episode and we brought it. You know, I mentioned this before we started recording. I was so happy because I love every episode he does. I think he has the great radio voice. This is Seaflow. I was so discouraged. And I said, something's off. He doesn't sound the same. I said, his voice is a little higher. He's got a little more pep in his step. And then I realized when I heard his girlfriend was here, I go, oh, that's what it is. You know, he's happy now. So, you know, I guess I got to be happy for him, even though I like the old, hey, what's going on? Seaflow voice. I'm happy for him, man. So it was bittersweet. I was happy to hear him, but I wanted to hear his old Seaflow voice. But hey, you know what? He's happy. So I'm happy for him.
We're all happy for everybody here at the LPP.
Yes.
I still got Denise, so you know, I guess I got that. Damn. Denise is still blessed
Hashtag
with me.
Hashtag trophy wife.
Hashtag trophy wife. There you go. So, Rudy, you brought an excellent theme this month. I keep saying this week, you know, from back in the old days. We only do it once a month now. But, yeah, I think you brought an excellent topic. I think we all kind of ended up doing different takes on it. You know, hopefully we do right by you.
Okay. Well, I wanted to leave it open to interpretation because initially I know you like, you're very professional. You don't like to do the same topic twice. No, that's good. That's good about you. And so at first I was kind of leaning towards an artist that may no longer be here. And, you know, so it was going to be, if I could turn back time and to go back to the artist. And you said, well, we kind of did that. And I said, okay, then I don't want to go that route. So then I said, how about take two? And what I meant by that was there are certain artists that I just hated. Straight from the jump for no reason. No, you know, I didn't like the way they looked. I didn't like the way their name. I didn't like this. And the group I brought up today is a group that I really loved a lot eventually, but I hated them in the beginning. So that's why I wanted to do take two. And I was hoping during this magic that maybe Denise, as much as she hated the Beatles, maybe that's going to be her group that she's going to say after giving them a second chance, she's now a fan. So we don't know what's going to happen in this episode.
We'll have to wait and see. That's a good
We'll have
tease.
To wait and see.
That's a good
She's going to go last. I want to hear her group last.
The Rude Dog is a professional over here, everybody. Putting the tease out, doing the nice segue, explaining the theme perfectly.
I even did my fun factoids because that's Ooh. One of the things that I really missed about the Listening Party podcast. And I think I don't know if I'm just speaking for myself or for all the podheads out there. I don't think we really appreciated all the work that Rod used to do. And I remember him getting in trouble. And Denise says, you're always doing too much and you're looking too much. And he would always give fun factoids about whatever song, whatever the artist. And I thought, how does he do all that? And I remember getting angry with Sen. And you guys would say, hey, you know what? We can't go out tonight because we got to, you know, edit the podcast. And I'm like, man, why do they got to do so much to it? But then now when you go back to those episodes, you realize, hey, we didn't know what we had until it's gone. And now it's like there is no, you know, there's fun episodes. There's fun podcasts out there now, like Taco Tuesday or the 110 podcast. It's just it doesn't have the same luster that the, you know, the special pizzazz that the Listening Party podcast had when Rod was doing all his extensive research. So I appreciate sure. that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I mean, Taco Tuesday, this is definitely a more low effort. Just kind of go like,
it's one of my favorites, you know, and I've ran it back, I think, 3 times now. Oh, well, not now. Now there's 83 episodes. But when it was in the 20s and 30s, I just couldn't get enough. And I had to go back to back to back to back. And just I would just love it. It would make me laugh so hard.
It's good that they're short.
Yes,
they're
yes.
short episodes.
Oh, yeah.
short.
I've been fortunate. Some have been 45 minutes, and I feel really blessed. I get hurt when I see it says 16 minutes. I'm like, oh. I think that was the one Denise wasn't here. You did it by yourself. And I was like, man, it was a 16-minute episode. So
that was Saul by Malonesome. Because Denise was like, we're not doing an episode. And I was like, dude, we can't go 2 weeks in a row. We can't do that. We can't do that. We've
been trying to be consistent. I put it in my planner. So if it's in my planner, I have to do it.
Put it in the planner, bruh. All right. Well, Rudy. You know, as is customary here at the LPP, the guest always goes first.
Okay, and I'll try to make it quick because I don't want to bore the podheads. But I want to be like Rod. I did my research. Now, initially, when this band came out, I liked them. That's the funny thing. I really liked them. And it's Stone Temple Pilots. And the first song that I heard was Plush. And I thought it was like, wow, what a song. I loved Pearl Jam, and I was all about Pearl Jam and the Seattle sound and the grunge movement. And I thought, these guys, they fit right in. I mean, they're just right there. And I was like, it's so amazing. And then I saw, I think it was an MTV Music Awards, some award show, and I saw Scott Weiland. And to me, because I'm very protective of Eddie Vedder, I thought, why is he trying to act like Eddie Vedder? Mm-hmm. And he had that, you know, but then I was like, what is he doing? And then I was like, no. And then a friend of mine had a friend of his that was just preaching Stone Temple Pilots are better than Pearl Jam. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, if you take core and you take verses track for track, I guarantee you, you know, this album burns that one. And I was like, wait a minute. And so I think just out of ignorance, I was like, they're actually not that good. And so I started to get angry and I was like, you know what? Actually, I don't like that song. And so I started hating Stone Temple Pilots and I just would not give them the time. I was like, no, they're A, they're not even from Seattle. They're from San Diego. Yeah, yeah. And I know Eddie Vedder's from San Diego. That's not the point. The point is, I was like, wait a minute. They're not from Seattle. They're not grunge. They don't belong here. Get them out. And the reason why I brought up the title Take Two is because what was it that made me give them a second chance? It was after hearing and you know, defending Pearl Jam, saying how much they were better than Stone Temple Pilots. I remember when there was a controversy when the song Sex Type Thing came out. Mm. And it's mm-hmm. because it, if you, you know, read the lyrics and go through the song, it, I think it's a, it doesn't push, but it kind of talks about the date rape kind of yeah. scenario. Mm-hmm. And it was very controversial at the time. And I remember hearing it, you know, and like anybody else, you kind of like stuff that's dangerous. Like, I do kind of like that song and maybe I shouldn't like it. It's not a church song and I'm a church guy. And I said, you know what? I don't know. It's pretty good. Yeah, yeah. And then I guess little by little, I bought the album mm-hmm. Core and just fell in love with it. And I was like, man, I'm so glad that I gave them a second chance. Cause at first I did like them, but then ignorantly I didn't like them. And I said, you know what? I wonder how many other groups I've done that with. And there's certain groups that when either the original singer leaves or he dies, I don't give them a chance either. And I want to thank you guys for that because you brought up Alice in Chains. And when Layne Staley passed away, I didn't even know they put out any more music. I was like, he was everything. I would never give them the time of day. But I didn't realize, as much as I do like Layne Staley, that I like Jerry Cantrell even more. And it's his harmonies that I always liked more than Layne. So I was like, you had played the song and I was like, man, this could have been made like back then. It sounds so good. And so I think even another group we brought up, it was System of a Down when they and then it was like there was just some good music that I was like, you know what? I never gave these groups a second chance because I was like, no, they're not the original. No, it's a different member. No, it's not going to be any good. And so I said, you know what? We got to make a podcast with this topic. So I'm hoping, like I said, I'm hoping Denise doesn't let me down and she has a group that I think we all know that she hates. Maybe she might have heard, you know, Here Comes the Sun or something that'll really make
or Don't Let Me Down.
Yes. So one can only hope.
Well, would you like to give Hitting the Post a shot?
It's too much pressure. I don't think anybody can really do it. I think you know how to do it pretty good. It's been a while since I've been here, so I'm not gonna do it.
No worries. All right. Well, without further ado, here it is. It's a Sex Type Thing by Stone Temple Pilots. Alright, everybody, there we go. That was a Sex Type Thing by Stone Temple Pilots. RIP, Scott Weiland. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll let you go first, Denise. Go ahead. What were your thoughts, questions, concerns?
I love STP. I've said this before. Scott Weiland's death was, like, hit really hard. It was one of the, I mean, the first death of someone that hit really hard that I didn't know. And I almost picked this band, too. I almost picked STP because it's not so much that, like, I've always loved STP. I grew up with them, you know, and Scott Weiland, but I didn't get to see STP, like, in their prime. And that was kind of, like, when we first started talking about, like, this topic and, like, fleshing it out. It was like, oh, well, bands you didn't get to see in their prime, I guess. And I didn't get to see them in their prime. When we started going to shows, it was Scott Weiland by himself, Scott Weiland and the Wildabouts. And, I mean, we drove all the way
also
out
VR.
To... Oh, yeah, and Velvet Revolver. Yeah. But we drove all the way out to, what is it, Pechanga? Was it Pechanga?
Oh, I thought you were going to say that other place, that little bar.
Where?
Like the canyon or something like that?
We didn't see them there.
Isn't that where we saw? Oh, no, that was Art Exarchus. That's another one that we didn't see in his prime. Oh, we just saw when he was doing like the solo circuit.
Yeah. But because like I didn't have any money back then. I didn't, like, my parents weren't going to let me go or go by myself. So I just saw him like after the fact, which I loved. I loved all his shows. I think we were going to buy tickets on that tour that he passed away on. But we're like, no, you know, we had just seen him. Yeah, we had just seen him. We're like, no, I think we'll pass on this one. And he was the second most person we had seen after Eddie Vedder.
At that point.
And then he passed away. And I just remember Sin told us. Sin was the first to tell us. We were walking in the door. And I was like, no. Yeah. And then just sitting in the dark, like, on the couch, just like, oh man, I'm never gonna see him again.
I think that was the main reason why it did feel like it hit closer to home, because it was somebody that we were actively like seeing more frequently now, and then at that point it was like, oh dang, like that's it, we're never gonna see him again. Like,
yeah,
when it's somebody that you don't see, it's like, oh well, I never saw him anyway, so like, I guess, yeah, okay, cool. But yeah, that was a rough one.
Yeah, but this is one of my favorite songs, that and Unglued. And
yes, yeah. Unglued is very, very good.
But I will not listen to new STP. I don't think it's STP without Scott Weiland. Like,
well, Chester was in there for a while.
I don't care.
Which is funny because you did like Linkin Park.
Yeah.
But you like Linkin Park as Linkin Park and STP as STP. That's a different thing. Yeah, that's fair. Because, they're still touring. STP's still touring. I don't even know who's the
And it's like,
now.
Dude, take a hint. If two of your people, like, died, like, if two of your lead singers died and then you still went on, you got another one, just, like, let it go, man. Do something else, you know?
Yeah.
Don't label it STP. Like,
yeah, that's
let
true, too.
Them...
Well, they did that for a while. When Scott Weiland was doing Velvet Revolver, they put out Army of One, I think was the name of the band.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, all the STP guys with the lead singer, and they were doing that. But, yeah, I mean, obviously, it didn't really do that great.
So. Yeah.
There you go. That's something that's interesting, I guess. So much like Alice in Chains, I feel like STP, it was like a group thing. You know what I mean? Like the DeLeo brothers were just as instrumental in the writing and the music and all that. But yet somehow, like without Scott Weiland, it's just like, yeah, it's not working. Whereas like in Alice in Chains, Layne Staley went, but you know, there's still like some Alice in Chains DNA in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, I don't want to offend any hardcore Alice in Chains fans, because I get it. Like, if you go on YouTube, they say it's almost impossible for anybody to duplicate Man in the Box. They said everybody's tried these high pitched singers. They said his voice was just so powerful, and I get that. But I feel he was obviously a big part of the group, but I feel the foundation was Jerry. And even his solo stuff, it just sounds like it could be Alice in Chains. It's just so melodic. We've talked with Denise about it. So like the lyrics are like haunting. They're like, makes you feel kind of like, so certain songs I hear, I'm like, ooh, they feel like, and they're not bad. It's just like the jar of flies. Certain of the songs I'm like, oh man, like they make me feel like it's like scary. It's like haunting, the lyrics, the melodies. But it's just crazy how, like you said, I thought that you had seen Scott Weiland. I thought you had seen STP. That's why I thought, oh, I'm going to bring this band. It's going to hit home with Denise. I didn't know that you never got to see him.
Yeah,
because I know you guys saw him a lot, like a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after the fact.
Well,
weren't you at one of the video filming?
Well, for his solo stuff. Yeah.
Okay. See, I always thought it was for STP.
Yeah. No. It was for the Wildabouts. He put out... That one was, it was technically still a solo album, but for whatever reason.
But you were close, right? Like,
yeah, we were like up toward the front. They filmed it at the Troubadour, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, we were there at the show. We were like pretty close to the stage and stuff. And I mean, the Troubadour is small anyway, so yes. It's like, yeah. And then, yeah, if you look it up, maybe I'll put it in the show notes or something. You could kind of spot my bald head. And then
it's always Rod's bald head.
Just look to
head.
The left, and then Denise is right there. So.
Yeah.
The bald head, man, comes in handy.
Nice and shiny.
Like, not too many horseshoe bald people at concerts these days.
Look for the horseshoe.
Front row center, you know what I'm saying? But so that was always a good time. I was going to say about STP, I liked them from the very first time I heard them on the radio, and this was back...
Was it Plush?
No, it wasn't Plush. I think it was probably Sex Type Thing, because I feel like that's really the one that they would always play. Like,
I thought Plush was the song that they first came out with. That's the one that I...
No, but I didn't get into it. It was like 1998. Yeah. So like at that point, they were already like
98.
Yeah, that's when I first heard.
Oh no, I was in high school. I think I was 92 or 93.
Yeah, yeah. So you were like right in there.
Because Rod didn't get here until 95.
I was in Mexico. 96, bro. 96.
Oh, 96.
Yeah, 96. Wow. Yeah. So I was still in Mexico. Yeah. So it was 98 when I finally kind of started listening to like my own music, I guess. So I would listen to K Rock or something. And yeah, I remember like from the very first time I heard them, I was like, oh my god, this band is so cool, it's like the best. But yeah, but by then they were like three albums in. I think Tiny Music was like two years ago, and then the following year, 99, was when Number Four would come out with like Sour Girl. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, they were already kind of like, oh okay, other way. Yeah. Out. Yeah. But then, so for me, I think by then, like the whole stigma of like, oh, they're just like a grunge wannabe band or like a Pearl Jam wannabe band had kind of like worn off. So by then, like that whole like people kind of like pitting them against the grunge bands had already died down.
Yeah.
So I was able to just get into it without like that.
And you know, I said that, I want to just clarify. I don't know that was a popular belief or a popular thing that, oh, they're not grunge or they're not Seattle. That was just me because I was in high school. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're in high school, you're trying to find your identity.
Yeah, you're trying to be,
oh no, I can't like them because, oh no, I don't like that. And so that's why for me, I was really protective of Pearl Jam and Alice in Chains, Smashing Pumpkins, which I know you guys don't really care for, but all the Seattle, you know, Soundgarden. I was like, there's no way, like, these guys don't belong. Well, I did at first. I was like, man, these guys are pretty good. Then I was like, nah, they don't belong here. And I was just really adamant about, no, I don't like them. And my buddy, his friend was like really cocky, and the way he came at me, like, why do you think Eddie Vedder's better? And I was like, bro, like, there's no way this dude sounds like him. And it was just, you know, just ignorance on my part. And then once I really listened to it, I was like, I felt guilty. I was like, man, I guess I really do like this song. I do like this album. And then it was just, you know, I like a lot of the tracks too on the second album. I don't even think they're radio songs. I just like a lot of the tunes that are on there. So
yeah, they have a lot. Yeah, I mean, you can listen.
And
to
I believe too, because you may have not known this, but after I think Plush was the first song, and then I think the song that really hit big was Big Empty, because the movie The Crow came out with Brandon Lee, and that song was like featured on all the trailers, and so I was like,
oh yeah, man. No, I did not. Yeah. Know.
So it was like a 1-2. It was like a really hard hitting combo for me. Songs, I was like, man, that's a bad song. So.
Did you have some more factoids left over you wanted to share?
No, it was mostly just why I, my factoids that I had looked up way back then. I'm not saying I didn't look it up before the show.
Oh,
okay. I was like, where are they from? I wanted to see what part of Seattle they were from. When I looked, I was like, San Diego is not in Seattle.
got it.
I didn't see Denise drive to take pictures in front of steps on a San Diego
apartment building. They're not featured in singles.
No, they're not.
So going back to, I guess, as a segue, you know, because we're professionals here, I'll go next since the Root Dog wants to save the cliffhanger for last.
We have our fingers crossed.
Yes.
yesterday.
So one of the ones that, you know, you were talking about, like, you know, you're trying to find your identity and all that. So for me, that was like, yeah, like 99, like early 2000s, where I was like, oh, like I like rock and that's what I like and yada, yada, yada. And then I had a cousin who was like really like into like 90s hip hop and rap and all this, and I was like, I don't like that. And then he started playing like Eminem, and I was like, oh, Eminem is trash, like he's so vulgar, and like he's just trying to get kind of like with Korn and like Adidas, I guess, where it's just like he's just doing it for attention, like this isn't funny, like talking about banging his mom and all this stuff and yada, yada, yada. And then later on, like I really got into him, and I was like, oh my god, I love Eminem now. Like I have all his albums in one form or another of physical media and stuff. And then Denise kind of helped me out, and she was like, oh, well, what about that one band, right? And then I was like, oh. And I was like, yeah, I guess. And the thing with that one is that they're not around anymore because the guy died. So I was like, well, but Rudy said it didn't have to be somebody that died, Denise. And then Denise was like, dude, you're overthinking it. Just do that one. And I was like, nah, okay, that's fair. So anyway, so I went with that. I went with a band called Brown Bird. And I kind of came across them through the Spotify algorithm. So it was probably after I had been binging a lot of Amigo the Devil. You know, we love Amigo the Devil here.
We do.
He should come on the podcast one of these days. Actually, he rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah. Because
he did this whole thing where... should I tell a story?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
I'll tell a story. So he did this whole thing where I think he was trying to, you know, get some money during the pandemic
yeah.
He had like a raffle or something. He was like, oh, you know, I'm going to raffle this or that or whatever. Or I forget how it worked. Oh, no, what was the raffle?
Yeah, I think it was a raffle.
It was a raffle. Where like if you bought something off his store, you would get put into the raffle, and then one of the rewards or one of the prizes for the raffle was he would do handwritten lyrics of whatever song you wanted, right? So then I was like, oh, okay, so we didn't win the raffle or whatever. So I was like, oh, fuck, right? But then I was like, well, I know Denise like is all about like, oh, I want some handwritten lyrics, yada, yada, yada. So I hit him up. in the social medias, right? I was like, hey, dude, like, I know it was only for the raffle, but, you know, I'm willing to, like, pay you for, like, some handwritten lyrics. Like, I bought them for, like, as a Christmas gift for my wife, yada, yada, yada. Like, I should, big fan, yada, 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 right? Didn't respond at all.
And he had respond, like, he's that small, like, where he's, like, you know, liked or interacted, like, a little bit on social media.
I've had some, like, back and forth. And I even messaged him from the account where we had like some back and forth because I was like, oh, you're going to see that we've spoken in the past.
Yeah.
So, you know, and he never responded. So I was like, all right.
Yeah, man, well, that was whatever. Sad.
So then she got like a consolation prize. So
got some Susan Santos handwritten lyrics.
Hey, man, Susan Santos is pretty good.
I know, but it's not my favorite song. But I mean,
OK,
yeah,
gosh, whatever. That was your
it
favorite
is what
song
it is. Thank you.
All right.
I
whatever.
Appreciate it.
Gosh. All right. Well, yeah. So that was that. So then, yeah, I think it was during that time that I came across this band, Brown Bird, and they were originally a solo project by David Lamb, and he started it back in 2003 in Seattle. So there you go.
Okay,
a little connection there to the grunge scene. In its final form, it became a duet with Lamb and his wife Morgan Eve Swain, or Swan, I'm not sure how you pronounce her last name. Unfortunately, the project came to an end in 2014 after David Lamb died of leukemia. And altogether, the band released 6 full-length albums and 2 EPs. I feel like they never really got like super big or anything like that. So had they still been around by the time I came across them, which was maybe like 2018, 17, around there. Yeah, I feel like if they had still been around, we definitely would have gone to see them. I don't know. And I just really like their music. It's folky, but I guess they had this whole thing where they didn't like to be pigeonholed as a folk band or whatever, which to me, it's like, dude, if you're a folk band, just say you're a folk band. Like, just own it. Who cares? Like, if you want to implement other elements in there, that's fine too. Yeah, so the song I'm bringing is off 2011's Salt for Salt, and it is called The Blood of Angels. I'm actually, not The Blood of Angels, it's just Blood of Angels. And I'm starting it at the third verse, and then a chorus, and then, yeah, then that's that. So here we go, everybody.
I drank blood of angels from a bottle, just to see if I could call the lightning down. It hasn't struck me yet, and I would wage my soul to bet that there ain't no one throwing lightning anyhow. Too many tries attempting fate to call it over, and you get to thinking fate's got different plans. Like maybe I'm not born to die, but to bring darkness to the sky, pull that goddamn sun down any way I can. You could be right, they might come for me at night, an angry mob of torches right outside my door. My spot, I might never win the fight, but I will rage against the light forevermore.
All right, there you go, everybody. That was Blood of Angels by Brown Bird. Rude Dog, what you think?
That was pretty good. Very good. I liked it. So you're saying that not all the songs sound like that? They change their style up, or they don't want to be pigeonholed in what
No,
way?
I feel like they all pretty much sound like that, but for whatever reason, like they do have some other instruments in some other songs. Mm-hmm. So they have some songs with like accordion, with like dobro and things like that. But for the most part, it's like bluegrassy.
Because that one seemed like a little upbeat. So it didn't really seem like folk.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, so supposedly after this album, they kind of took a turn more for like rock music, I guess.
Okay.
I wouldn't consider this rock, but you know, more like upbeat, I guess. Mm-hmm. To me, this kind of had like the rhythm was a little bit of like a polka rhythm, so a little bit more like Eastern European vibe, I guess. And and then I'm not sure what their whole vibe is, but they have a lot of like alchemist imagery in a lot of their artwork, and then some of their lyrics have to deal with that stuff. So I really don't know what kind of things they were into as far as like spirituality or whatever those beliefs or anything like that. But this song in particular is talking about a person who's kind of like got tired of trying to be like a good guy, and then just ended up, you know, turning bad, and then just kind of tempting like God or whoever the spirit is that is there judging us to like see if he would actually come down and strike him. Right. Because like I think the song starts with like I drank the blood of angels just to see if I would get struck by lightning. But I'm pretty sure there's nobody up there throwing lightning
so
anyway.
Does each album, does it change like the theme since they try to like change their sound and didn't want to be pigeonholed? Or is it pretty much like that whole album is like that song and then the next one's more all rock and then the next one?
If anything, the early albums are really more folky and bluegrassy.
OK,
so they're a little bit slower. They're a little bit more not dark, but more moody. That's what I'm thinking. And then the later albums, it's more rockin', it's more not popular, like popular music, but it's more accessible, I guess I would say, right? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, their last album was like released post... What's that word? I always have a hard time with that word. Post...
I know what you're
Homously.
Yeah, something like that.
I can't say that word. But anyways, it was released after that, and he recorded most of those songs the last year of his life after he had a relapse with the leukemia and stuff. And then his wife released it afterwards. So that one, yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting just in the sense that it deals with like existentialism and things like that. And that's actually one of the themes that I really like in like a Riot Act for Pearl Jam, which is a lot of people don't seem to like that one. But that was my first new Pearl Jam album as like a Pearl Jam person that I was like, oh, I'm going to like Pearl Jam now. You know what I mean? Try to get into these
pants.
That's
when you got into them? Riot
Act? Yeah. Yeah, it was like way at the end. It was way at the end. Like I was aware of them, obviously. But I was never like, oh, well, granted, remember, I didn't get started into like doing my own thing until like 98 or something, which I was already friggin' old by then. Riot Act was kind of like their newest, that was like their first new album because it came out like in 2001, right? After like 9/11 and all that, after Bush was already president and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then before that was Binaural, which came out in like 98, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, I was like right around that time. But anyways, yeah. So back to this band. Denise, what would you think about the song?
I dug it. I remember you starting to play this and I was like, oh, this is cool. Who is this? And then you were telling me, he's like, oh, but you know, the lead singer is dead. Like he died.
Did he die young?
Like, I didn't get that.
30s or 40s?
But yeah. He was still like pretty young. Yeah. Okay. So that was my jam. Denise.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Oh, it's the moment we've all been waiting for.
Don't let the rude dog down,
Denise.
We've
been waiting for this forever since I've met her. And it is.
Alrighty. I guess this is like admitting to like, because I feel like I'm a really huge fan. Like in
of the Beatles. Of the Beatles.
Okay. Damn.
Yes.
I knew it's it all a along. Christmas miracle.
I knew it all along, dude.
We knew it.
But
she's just fronting this whole time. She's fronting.
Rod and I did not get into Amy Winehouse until I want to say like 2 years before she passed away. Because
wait, I thought we're talking about the Beatles. How does this get back to the Beatles?
And you know what's funny is that I almost chose Amy Winehouse because I know how much you liked her, but I thought you liked her right from the gate.
No. So I was still in my grunge phase and like my rock phase. And I guess I was like, I had met Rod like in 2002. So, and he expanded my musical taste, I feel.
Expanded her horizons.
Throughout. Yeah.
No, just kidding.
But you were already in the Pearl Jam.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay, okay. I was already into Pearl Jam.
Okay.
But I want to say Rehab started being played like in, or no, it wasn't Rehab. I just didn't know about her because the first album was dropped in 2003. So I was graduating from high school and going into college, right? And so Rehab and Back to Black, which is all I remember hearing, came out in 2006. So I was in college and I didn't like that song. Like, and I had just heard the stories and just thought, you know, oh, she's like a drug addict, you know, like she's just a little druggy. I didn't know any better. And she passed away in 2011. I think we got into her just a couple of years before because we were at my parents' house. We were watching TV in the back room and it was an Amy Winehouse special like on MTV. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, this is pretty good because it had the horns. It wasn't like Rehab. It was everything. It was everything else, you know, like the bluesy stuff. I was like, this is her stuff. Like, I was like, she actually has like better stuff than stupid Rehab or whatever. Yeah. And I don't know. And I guess it was because like I didn't know that she played like with all the horns and everything. And granted, she looked drunk AF. Like on
did she?
I thought she did. Or maybe it was just that thing that she does because I read her like her best friend's book of her that it was like a character.
Okay.
Right. So maybe she was playing her little character because she has the whole little thing where she moves her ankles like and her knees.
I mean, yeah, she doesn't really shake. Yeah, yeah. She doesn't have good like, rhythm. She doesn't have good dancing.
These
I don't know what's
limp,
going on
like her arms are all limp. She looks like a T-Rex up there. You know what I mean? And with her big old beehive. I mean, she like her voice was good and like the band was good and everything. So I was like, oh, I was like, this is pretty good. So then we started listening to her. Right. So then we started, you know, downloading stuff and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Like we bought her CD, dude.
Yeah. Like, yeah. By the way,
somebody stole that CD from me. If you're listening to this.
What the
give
hell?
It back.
Yeah. I had the case and then one day I went to listen to it and the CD was gone. So I mean, damn I could have misplaced it. Maybe. I don't know. But I was like, dude, what the fuck was my CD?
And I want to like honorable mention for you that I just thought of right now.
Thanks a lot, Denise.
I remember like us not being into Lady Gaga, and then like,
oh yeah, I mean, not... I went back to not being into Lady Gaga. Yeah.
But the Little Monsters one, like Rod was really in, and that's when we got into like the disco stick and all that, and that was like our jam, yeah, and we got really into Lady Gaga.
Yeah, like, I'm glad you said that honorable mention, because we had talked about it earlier, and I was gonna pick Korn, because when they came out. I don't know if Adidas was their first song, but I thought, like I said, no pun intended, I thought it was so corny. I was like, all day I dream about sex. And I was like, what kind of song is this? What the heck? And I didn't hear any other song except for that one. I thought, this band is just garbage and it's trash. And then Sin, my cousin, years later said, oh, yeah, me and Wendy, me and the Fig, we're going to go see Korn. And I was like, Korn? You are. And then for some reason, one day, I think it was Spotify with the algorithm. I must have been listening to something, I think like Disturbed or somebody. And then Korn came on and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. It wasn't Adidas. And I was like, that's good. Then I heard another song. Then I told Wendy, I told her, man, I text her and I was like, you know what? I'm on a Korn kick right now. And I really got it like way, way later. This is probably about 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I really got heavy into them. Then I saw the Woodstock footage and I was like, oh my God, with the song Blind. And I was gosh. I was like, dude, so I then I got that, like heavy into them. And but that was going to be my first choice. But I said, no, I really, STP was the really, like Rod was talking about, that was like my identity phase where there's no way I'm not going to like this band that's not Eddie Vedder, that's not from Seattle. But I'm glad I gave them a second chance.
Yeah, another honorable mention for me was going to be System of a Down, but we had just done like Surgeon, because a buddy of mine in high school, he was like, dude, you gotta listen to the CD, dude, you gotta listen to it. And he let me borrow their first CD, like the self-titled CD, the one with the red hand on it. Oh, no, it's not red hand, it's just the hand on it. And I was like, all right. So I took it home, I listened to it, and I was like, dude, this is garbage, man. Like, I can't listen to this shit. Because it was just like, I was like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm good. And then a couple years later, they put out Toxicity and all that. And then Mark was like really into it. But Mark was like, he just sold it to me better because he would be singing the songs and he'd be really trying to sound like Surge. And I was like, oh my God, dude, those sounds like so good. And then I went back and that's when I got into them like really hard. And then my original friend was like, oh, you like System of a Down now? And then I was like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, of course. Like, they're really good. He's like, dude, I lent you their CD like 2 years ago. You said you didn't like it. And I was like, oh, my bad, dude. I don't know what to tell you. But yeah, that's another one. But anyways, continue. Yeah, so Lady Gaga, Disco Stick.
Yeah.
Amy Winehouse.
I thought that the Lady Gaga, I just remembered that because that was another one. Just because then we got into like female, I feel like we consciously tried to listen to female vocalists like after Amy or whatever.
Well, I think, yeah, because then was it then that we went and we bought like the Janis Joplin box set?
Yeah, maybe. She was already like, that was already downhill. I want to say that was 2 years before she died, and she died in 2011.
Yeah.
So, and I remember like thinking, like getting into it, and I was like, dude, we're not gonna see her. Like, she's gonna die. Like, she's gonna be the next Forever 27 like club member, right? And then, sure enough, yeah, she was. The
Wait, next was she? I thought she missed it.
No, she was Forever 27.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I remember like hearing it like in the car, like we were on our way like out, like driving down the street, and then it like came on like Kiss FM or something. And I was like, oh shit, like,
why were we listening to Kiss FM?
I don't remember, because I always listen to the radio. Yeah. And I was like, damn. So I regret like
did
not
it make you feel
seeing her
any sort of way, like did you feel weird or did you feel hurt or devastated?
I felt bad that I called it, like that she was gonna
well, you're being all
27.
Like rude about it, like the way that other people were being about it, like just like called it because she's like an alcoholic or something.
Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, back then we weren't
we just didn't know. There wasn't, and media spun it like that too. And if you read the books, like if you read the book, like apparently she was clean. A lot of it was like bulimia bulimia, and just the years just like of everything plus the bulimia, like her body couldn't take it, you know.
Yeah.
So
well, another interesting thing that you always see on the internet, every now and then people will repost it on Reddit or something, is like there'll be clips of how like every like late night talk show host was just like clowning on her like pretty much all the time whenever like a tabloid would come out or something. And then same like in British media and all that. And then how like the only one that like wouldn't say anything or that kind of had like some words of encouragement or something like that was, what's his face? Craig Ferguson. Craig Ferguson?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
But I feel that always happens. Like, if she'd still been alive, I think it would still be the same. But because she passed, not everybody goes back to, oh, look at how mean you were. Like, recently, Aaron Carter had died.
Oh,
and they keep playing
the
clip when people were making fun of him and saying, you should die. You look like you have AIDS. And now that he's gone, obviously, people are reposting it. Oh, my God. We were so cruel to him. But, yeah. But the people that are posting that were probably the same people that were making fun of him.
Yeah, but now that he's gone,
like, oh, we didn't give him a chance. And we're so sorry, Aaron, forever in our hearts. And, you know.
Yeah. By the way, shout out to Skylar. Pour one out for the Green Ranger. She was also very distraught about that. So,
Oh my God.
And I'm glad you brought up Skylar because I for some reason, I'm getting the story mixed up. I thought we were together, us three, when we heard the news about Scott Weiland at her birthday party. You said Sin told you about it. Because I remember we were together. She had her birthday party. We were playing that drinking game that King's Cup, or was it a... What?
Oh.
And I could have swore all three of us were together, and we got the text that Scott Weiland died. We're like, no, there's no way. And
I remember, know it was December for sure.
Yeah.
And I remember feeling weird about it because we were together. But you said... So I must be getting the story, but I could have swore we were at her house in Paramount, or right?
Yeah, Paramount. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we were playing that game, and I was like, and I saw my phone, and I was like,
dude, I totally forgot about that.
But that's when I remember hearing the news about Scott Weiland dying. But you know, you said you guys found out through Sin.
I think we had just come home from that. Maybe you got the text, but I didn't, and like I didn't check my phone till like I got. So we're walking.
Yeah, and
the
then
door.
We're talking. You know, this is probably Galaxy S3 days. I don't think I really had service to be checking like right away. But I remember hearing about it and being with you and Rod and kind of like feeling weird. Like, oh, I know, like it's gonna be It wasn't confirmed.
Maybe you didn't mention it.
Well, I do remember we were coming home from something.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I totally forgot that we were at Skylar's party together.
Yeah.
Playing King's Cup.
Yes.
Man, you remember King's Cup?
Yes.
Wow.
She drank it.
Yeah, she did.
It was her party. We're all like, ugh. And that was pre-COVID, imagine.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. I was like, yeah, you can't play King's Cup anymore.
You can't do that no more.
Oh, man, that was nasty.
Good times. Shout out to Skylar.
Yeah. Man, party animals we were.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, so... Sorry, go ahead. Continue.
So I love Amy Winehouse. And at first, it was, you know, her as a band. But then, like, I really got into her raw lyrics. And then just all the documentaries and everything that, like, I have of that I've seen of her and that I've, like, read. It's all, like, she would just put it all out there.
Yeah. Like, I've heard you talk about it before. And I really need to get the info from you to know what documentary to watch. Because I liked her when she came out, but I never got heavy into her. But I assumed you always liked her because the way you guys have always talked about her music. So I was like, man, I got to ask Denise and what documentary she's talking about. Because I think there was one or two made. One just called Amy, I think.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's the one.
That's on HBO, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I have her book that her best friend wrote about her. So it was, I don't know, it was different because it was different perspective of someone who was with her like all the time.
Okay.
Basically her caretaker. But yeah, which, I mean, to be fair, my mom didn't like it. I gave it to my mom to read and because she likes Amy Winehouse. But she was like, I didn't like this book. I just skipped to the end. So, I mean,
and
whatever.
She's like a hardcore reader.
Yeah, and my mom like loves to read, but whatever. So
well,
I...
Sorry to interrupt, but she said she didn't like it because the guy kind of kept making it about himself.
Yeah. But I mean, that was his story, you know, like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, whatever.
His claim to fame.
Yeah.
Oh, but go ahead. We haven't played your song yet.
Oh, my song is... what is it? Take the Box. Yeah. And I just love the whole writing the letter part. And then, yeah, just how she, like, I'm sure that's exactly how she felt. What she's saying is exactly what happened. That's how she felt. And I just love that whole imagery right there about writing the letter. And yeah.
I came home this evening and nothing felt like how it should be. What does the me? You know me. I feel so fucking angry, and I don't wanna be reminded of you. So when I left my mess in your kitchen, I said goodbye to your bedroom. It smelled like you, Mr. Fox beaches. You. Don't
My song. What album is that? That's off the live album, right?
Well,
like,
yes.
After the fact, like.
So the original song, I think, is in Frank, which is like her first album.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
the
yeah
studio
yeah
recording. But Denise wanted me to play this one, which is off the BBC Sessions that came out, I think, last year.
Yeah. It's recent. Like, I don't know. I love this version, the live version, and I just really like her voice, and obviously, but I just want to say that she was like a tiny person, like with the bulimia and everything. She was a short person, but she was always in freaking these big old heels and with her big old beehive. But and then that was the thing that it's Tyler, right? The author of the book that I read was saying that she was just this tiny person, but this huge voice, this amazing voice just came belting out of her. So I don't know. I feel like this was the perfect song to show that.
No, yeah. And I was, well, obviously Denise just said it. I was on the same boat. Like, I just, I thought it was so dumb that like Rehab was kind of like the song that they kept pushing for her. But it was like, that's such a crappy song. It's not even that great. And then, but one thing that I did want to mention, Denise mentioned the Amy documentary. Yeah. So in the documentary, Amy, they do that. Like they'll do like this whole graphic of like, you know, the handwritten lyrics, like kind of scrolling across the screen. And they'll be depicting like literal moments in her life. And a lot of times they even had like footage of, you know, because I guess when she was coming up, they were already kind of like digital cameras were around and it was pretty like inexpensive to just record everything. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of footage of her like coming up and when she was kind of like being courted by different record labels and all this stuff. And yeah, it's just so interesting how literal a lot of her lyrics are. Like even in this song, there's that dumb line that about like the Moschino bra that you bought me. And I was like, what the hell is a Moschino bra? And I guess that's a brand.
Yeah, it's just like an expensive brand.
And
I was like, what?
And then, she has like some other songs where like she'll name like the literal thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? And it's just so weird because the music, you get like these old like jazzy, bluesy like vibes. But then she's singing about very contemporary things. And you're just kind of like, oh, okay. That, I don't know. It's just an interesting...
Well, because that's what she grew up listening to. Like, she grew up listening to all that old music. But I feel like, just to answer your question, that they were filming her because she went to this school. It was known, like, if you went to that school, that you were going to make it big. Like, you had the potential to make it big. So I feel like that's why they started, like, recording her, because they knew. Mm. That she was going to be big, so.
Got it. I record everything just because, you know.
Because he knows he's
going to be big. One of us is going to have to die for it to make it big, or both of us or something.
Mm. Well, yeah. I guess. But then, by then, nobody's going to be paying the bill, so it's all going to be taken down.
Yeah, true.
So, too late. Rudah, what you think?
I thought it was really good. And like Denise said, I really liked her. You could just hear like the power in her voice in that song. And I don't know the regular version. I just heard that song right now, but that live version sounds really, really good. It sounds like something you can listen to like on a nice Saturday night with, you know, right here and just relaxing, maybe on your record player. It sounds really good. And I think I was always under the impression she was just more poppy because off of like Rehab.
Right.
And even Lady Gaga, when she came out, I remember when I liked it when she initially came out, and Just Dance was like her biggest song.
Oh,
and
that's
Kobe Adonis and Akon. And if she would have kept going that route, I don't think she would have been as big as she was, because that was like super poppy. And,
you
know, and even though I think she's still considered pop music, she kind of has her own like style, her own like genre with her monsters.
Yeah. Well, for a while there, it seemed like she was kind of going like the route of like Amy Winehouse, where she even recorded music with Tony Bennett, which Amy Winehouse mm-hmm. also did. It kind of seemed like she was kind of pivoting that way. I feel like she's just, I don't want to say like Madonna, but she does kind of keep reinventing herself. I'm talking about Lady Gaga now, where like, she does kind of reinvent herself. And I guess similar to like Brown Bird, I guess, where they didn't want to be pigeonholed into like a thing. She kind of does the same, where it's like, it's generally pop, but she does bring in different elements too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Which I think is what Amy Winehouse did, and that's when she became, that's when I guess she kind of broke through and became more popular with Back in Black, was because a lot of the songs were produced by Mark Ronson, right? Mm-hmm. And he was kind of known for being like a big pop producer and all that. Well, there you go. Rude Doug, any last questions, comments, concerns?
No, no. I'm happy. I was hoping it'd be a Beatles song, but, you know.
Sorry.
she let you down.
I was pleasantly surprised.
All right. Well, there you go. All right, Rude Doug. As we mentioned, you know, you're no longer a single man. You're off the menu here. Mm-hmm. But if people do want to reach out to you for whatever reason, maybe they just want to chat, talk some corn with you. Where can they do that? Do you want them to do
that?
Yeah,
sure, sure. Instagram is at It's the Rude Dog. One word. I think it's all one word, isn't it? No spaces, no weird, you know, hyphens and nothing. Just It's the Rude Dog. And, you know, I get asked often, why do you like Rude Dog? Like, are you rude or do you think you're a bad dog? I'm like, no, my name's Rudy. That's just the nickname people call you, Rude Dog. I had that at the DMV. The lady looked at my license plate, personalized Rude Dog one. She says, oh, so you're rude, huh? I said, well, no, my name's Rudy. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. And she gave me my license plate. But yeah, it's the Rude Dog on Instagram and, you know, Facebook. I'm not really on there as much, but Rudy Menchaca Jr. But that's it.
And Denise, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
At Defer Music, DEFER Music. Oh, yeah,
exactly. You just said it right now. Jesus. If you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to do it, rod@lppod.com, or just slide into the DMs. That's how people like to do it nowadays. If, for whatever reason, you want to check out even more podcasts featuring myself and Denise, head on over to talkingishard.com. We got a ton of podcasts over there. We got the 110 podcast. Denise is putting a lot of work into that. So, you know, yeah, good job. All right. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.